I don't know, I just woke up from a little nap. It's a little dark, but you guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them, do all I can with them. Mentally, I'm an athlete. Physically, I'm just a guy. Joining me in studio, a former member of the POU women's basketball team in Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you today?
I'm doing well. That's all I really have to say. I'm doing well.
What did you do over the weekend?
Me and my boyfriend went home to Bellevue, ooh, where my parents live, and we had a great time. The four of us just roamed around Bellevue and did lots of shenanigans. The four of us crammed in a photo booth.
Aww.
And got a cute little photo
strip.
Thank you. yeah, it was fun.
Perfect. Also joining me in studio is a member of the POU football team. He's a tight end. He wears number 87. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you?
I'm great.
What'd you do this weekend?
I got to spend a great weekend down in Texas with my girlfriend, Lindsay Nicholson. She's listening to the show right now, actually.
That's not me, by the way. I'm Lacey Nicholson.
But yeah, it was a great weekend. Great to spend time with her and feeling rejuvenated, ready to finish these last 4 weeks of school.
Is it only four?
No, it's got to be five. Please tell me it's five.
No, it's four.
No.
It's definitely
it's
four.
It's only four, really?
I think it's only four
weeks.
Oh,
my goodness.
No, way too much stuff to do in 4 weeks. It's got to be five.
So, yeah, ready to go.
Perfect. I spent Easter at Ocean Shores. Mackenzie's grandparents have a house out there, so we went out and spent the day. That was great.
Nice.
Yeah, that was about all I did. Yeah. Yesterday, I tried to apply for a passport for the honeymoon.
Ooh.
Oh.
Where's the honeymoon?
Cabo San Lucas in Mexico.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Cabo.
Yes. Mackenzie was babysitting her nephew, I guess our nephew soon, but his name is Will, and Will had fallen asleep with a bottle in his mouth, so when Mackenzie went to pull him out of the car, he had thrown up on himself a little bit.
Oh, no.
Will's about one. It's like, I was like, dude, I thought you grew out of that, but it's okay. So he threw up a little bit. We cleaned him up. We carried him into the post office to do all the stuff, and I held him for a little bit, and I did not realize how potent the baby puke smell is.
Hey, that's going to be you soon.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It reaffirmed. No, the point of the story was to reaffirm how much I do not want a small baby child in my possession. Well, it's cool because you can give him back, but
it's all worth it.
Does your fiance want one though?
Not now.
Not
later.
Now. Okay. Fair enough.
All right. We want to remind those of you who are listening that you can check out the full version of this show at mastmedia.pou.edu. If you wanna check out our YouTube page, check out Half Athlete Radio in the search bar. Subscribe to our page. Help us out. Need some more subscribers. Need some more followers. It'd be great. We greatly appreciate it. Also, if you want to call into the show at any time and talk to us about anything, literally anything.
Call in, peeps.
253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332.
Real quick, how will we do this show without Drew Artizoni?
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go.
It's going to be a lot of empty air.
Empty noise. Here we go.
Yeah.
We'll fill it.
Oh, yay. Have to play that song before you talk about the Mariners, right, DJ?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. Let's talk about the Mariners. Last time we talked about them, they were coming off a 1-6 road trip. It was doom and gloom. They were the worst team in baseball ever.
Nice.
Right?
Doom and gloom.
Since we talked, the team has gone 4-3. They went 1-2 in a series against the Astros and then swept the Texas Rangers over the weekend. Lacey, let's talk about the Astros series. What did you see that was a problem for the Mariners?
So the issues really stemmed from the bullpen, other than game one, of course, when the Mariners went on to win 6-0. No issues there. But I thought I'd share something that my grandma said over the weekend. We were sitting on the couch watching the Mariners, and she said, she was getting all heated up because one of the players kept throwing balls and walking guys. I don't even know what game it was in, but she said, the pitcher should only be paid per strike. So every strike they throw, that's when they should get paid. $20 per strike or whatever. So I thought that was pretty cute, little grandma quote.
Not a bad idea.
But anyways, like I said, game one, Paxton pitched a majority of the game. He was in for 7 innings, and during that time, he gave up 4 hits and had 8 total strikeouts. Then Dan Altavilla and Evan Scribner came in during the final innings to seal the deal, and like I said, Mariners go on to win 6-0. Good stuff there. Unfortunately, in game two, not the same result. We had Ariel Miranda left the game after going a little over 5 innings, and James Pazos, am I right there?
Yep. Pazos.
Pazos, okay. Preference, tomato, tomato. James Pazos.
I say Pazos, so.
was brought in to get the final outs of that inning. He faced 4 batters and gave up hits to all of them, which gave the Astros 2 runs. Nick Vincent pitched well, striking out 3 in a little over 1 inning there. And then Casey Fien was asked to pitch the final 2 innings, and he gave up 3 hits and 1 run during that time. So before Fien came in, it was a 1-run game, and he gave up a run, and it became a 2-run game. So if a reliever comes into the game when their team is trailing, they need to be able to keep the deficit where it's at, and that was not the case here. So we head into game 3, and again, we see Altavilla came in to pitch the 7th inning. He gave up 3 runs in that inning, and then Dylan Overton pitched the 8th, and he gave up 3 more runs. That's 6 runs given up by the bullpen. To take those 6 runs away, the Mariners would have won that game 5-4, but unfortunately, they end up losing that one. So tough deal there. Could have been a winning series for the Mariners, but we gave up a few too many runs.
Yeah, I mean, I always have a tough time blaming the bullpen. We talk about it on here all the time. You know, DJ on the football field, would you rather convert 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 7?
Yep.
So if your starters don't give you a chance by getting into the 6th inning, getting into the 7th inning, letting, you know, bullpen guy. Even you talked about James Pesos giving up runs. It's a left-handed reliever that throws really hard. If he were to face left-handed hitters, he'd be fine. But he had to face lefties and righties, and he ended up giving a ton of runs. So, DJ, did you see any positives from the Astros series?
Yeah, the offense started to get going, and we kind of highlighted that a little bit last show, even though it was only a one-game sample. But they ended up scoring 16 runs over those 3 games. And you would think that would be enough to win 2 games, but obviously we saw the result, and it didn't. In the first game, it was a combination of Mitch Haniger and Nelson Cruz. Haniger went 2-for-5 with 1 RBI and 1 run, and then Cruz heated up and went 3-for-4 with 2 RBIs. And like I said last week, my bold prediction was that Cruz was gonna get going, and he kind of has. In the second game, we scored 5 runs, and the main contributors that game was Taylor Motter, who went 3-for-4, and then Robinson Cano knocked in 2 runs as well. Then in the third game of the series, the Mariners were led by 2 rookies in Taylor Motter and Mike Freeman. Motter and Freeman both went yard, racking up 3 RBIs between them. Then as we stand right now, some players to look at going forward, Taylor Motter has been really hot lately.
With that hair, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He has the best flow in the game. And he's gotten some extra games in because Segura is still on the DL. But he's taken full advantage of that time. He's gone 321. Well, he's batting 321 right now with 4 doubles and 3 home runs. And then Mitch Haniger is proving his case for Rookie of the Year, batting 291. And he's tied for the lead on the team with 11 RBIs. And he also flashed some really nice leather on Sunday in order to keep the M's in the game.
That he did. I think Taylor Motter would be the fan favorite as is just because of his hair.
Yeah.
But then add in that he's playing well right now, and people love him. Mm-hmm. I think it's hilarious. Twitter goes nuts when he hits a home run, calling it a Motter pop, and I think it's the funniest thing.
A Motter pop?
I saw a sign last night that said, Motter pop.
Love it.
It's so good.
Like Otter pops on there.
So after the Astros series, the team had a day off on Thursday. Mariners unveiled a Ken Griffey Jr. statue outside of Safeco Field. You guys have any thoughts about that statue? It's cool.
I think it's well deserved.
Well deserved?
Yep.
You think so?
Yep. Because Griffey is, I mean, he's kind of the guy who got the Mariners. He put them, I guess, made them relevant. Put them on the map.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some could argue it's Edgar. Some could argue it's Griffey.
Yeah, I would definitely fall on the Edgar side of that argument, but we'll save that for
somewhere
down
the
line.
I mean, Edgar's stayed around. He didn't go to another team. That probably has a big reason to do with it.
Didn't demand to be traded. Didn't ask to get out several times.
Yeah.
Didn't quit in the middle of a season.
There's room for two statues.
Is there?
There is.
Might be coming.
Yeah. Maybe along the third baseline.
There's six statues out in front of Safeco Field.
I know. I visited AT&T Park down in San Francisco, and they have like three or four statues.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Mariners are still a young franchise.
That is true. They are only in their 40th season. All right, that sent us into the weekend against the Texas Rangers. Mariners swept the Rangers. It was really the starting pitching that sealed the deal for them. Started Friday night with Felix Hernandez. We learned last year that when he's hurt, this team isn't great. When he misses times, you know, they missed the playoffs by two games in 2016. And Felix spent 7 weeks on the disabled list. So he needs to be on this team for this team to be anything. Hernandez went 7 1/3 innings. He pitched, gave up 6 hits, only 1 earned run, only 3 strikeouts, but he didn't walk anyone, and he hasn't walked anyone all season long. He's pitched in 3 games, no walks yet, so that's incredible. James Paxton won game 2 for the M's on Saturday. Paxton went 8 innings pitched. He gave up only 2 hits, he walked 1, and struck out 9.
And he was the AL Player of the Week.
Yes, that did his Sweet. Performance from the Astros series and the Rangers series, AL Player of the Week. Well deserved. He hasn't allowed a run in 21 innings pitched. So crazy what James Paxton is finally doing for the Mariners. And then on Sunday, like you said, it was a wild one. This was the day that the team's bullpen needed to pick him up because, I think Iwakuma, and he only went like 3 innings, right?
Yep.
So bullpen ended up going, 6 innings. They gave up 1 run. And like I said, if your starters go deep, it helps your bullpen. The bullpen was able to go so long because the night before, or 2 nights before, Hernandez made it into the 8th. Mm-hmm. The next day, Paxton made it to the 9th before he had to hand it over.
Mm-hmm.
Bullpen was well rested. That's tough.
Tongue twister.
Yeah, and there was a lot of theatrics. You mentioned the catch by Haniger. What'd you think of that, DJ?
I thought it was game-saving.
Game-saving.
And especially for the morale of the team to see that, especially from a play of a rookie. I thought it was really uplifting for the team. Iwakuma has really struggled here. It'll be interesting to see going forward. He's allowed the most earned runs on the team with 9. And he got moved down to the third starter instead of the second. Paxton took over that spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think really for the M's future success, Iwakuma is going to have to be better because it's not every day where you have a starter go 8 innings and then Paxton goes 7 and then you have Kuma. So,
well, and here's a question for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Smyly is on the disabled list. He will come off at some point.
Yep.
This is another 4 or 5 weeks down the line. If Ariel Miranda keeps pitching the way he does, what decision are the Mariners going to have to make? Do you move Hisashi Iwakuma? Do you move Yovani Gallardo? Do you send Ariel Miranda back down, even though he's pitching really well right now?
Mm-hmm. I think just for initial reaction, it would have to be send Miranda down because Smyly has proven he's pitched. He previously played for Tampa Bay, and they've been in the playoffs a couple years when Smyly was there, and Smyly has pitched in playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
Iwakuma, he hasn't pitched in playoff games, but he's proven himself at the MLB level. I think Miranda, he's still in the tweener stage where we don't really know what we're going to get. It could be one good start here, one bad start there. And I still think some of the MLB teams are still getting acclimated to him, and that
helps.
Once they get used to him, I think we could see them start to hit him really well. But initial reaction, I would say send Miranda down. Just have him kind of in the back pocket, because then the MLB teams don't get more film on him, and you can just kind of keep him there. Mm-hmm. So,
very fair.
Do they have to send someone down when Smyly comes back?
Typically, the way baseball's played right now is that you have 5 starters, and they just take turns. They go in an order. And once Drew Smyly gets back, that will be 6 guys who are technically starting pitchers.
Got it.
You could see a situation where they drop Miranda down to the bullpen and then kick a bullpen guy out.
Yeah, that makes the most sense to me, honestly.
Yeah. But
I mean, realistically, too, one of them will probably get hurt again in
right.
the season.
Right.
Miranda
it happens.
Comes back up.
It's very true. Very true. Like you said, yeah, 4-2. They're two games under 500 all of a sudden. And
four-game winning streak.
Yeah, four-game winning streak. Undefeated with the Griffey statue outside of Safeco Field,
there
which a lot of people are talking about, which is funny. But
still selling grasshoppers.
Yeah. Have you had the grasshoppers
sick.
Yet?
Sick. I can't even look at them.
So I had some buddies go on Friday, and they said, you know, like the chili lime Doritos?
Mm-hmm.
They said it was like chili lime dust.
Because
it's like so, like, they're expecting something a little more meaty, but it's just so, like, crunchy and dry that it's just like chili lime dust.
We should do a competition, and the four of us should go to a Mariners game and see. Ooh. Loser of a competition has to eat a full thing of them.
See, ooh. Like, I wouldn't mind losing because I've heard they're not, like, terrible,
yeah.
but they're not, like, super good.
All right, dude, you can try them. You go right ahead.
I think they're selling the most because they're actually good, or because people are like, what?
Grasshoppers?
No way.
And then, like, those.
And then they're like $4.
Yeah.
The cheapest thing you can get at a Mariners game. I think it's
starving college kids.
Yeah. Oh,
grasshoppers for dinner.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little POU baseball and softball. They're about to get ready for some postseason action. We'll tell you who you need to look out for. Don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete, joined by a member of the POU women's basketball team in Lacey Nicholson and a member of the POU football team in DJ Winter.
Yep.
If you want to check out the full version of this show, you can check it out.
You got it.
At mast.media.pou.edu.
Attaway.
Come on, peeps, call in.
Check us out on YouTube. Type in Half Athlete Radio in your search bar. You can find clips of the show there. Subscribe to the page. We'd really appreciate it. And finally, like DJ said, if you want to talk to us, we want to talk to you. You just got to want to talk to us, okay? Call us at 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. 32.
I have that number memorized. I say it in my head just walking around town.
Yeah.
253-535-7332.
Yeah, see? Lacey could call us whenever she wanted to. It's your turn, people. You call us. All right, Lacey, what's up next?
All right, so over this last weekend, exciting weekend here at PLU, we had the baseball team and the softball team were both home this weekend, and it was senior day for both those teams. We'll start with baseball. Baseball played a non-conference game, which is kind of confusing to me. Basketball doesn't do it this way, but for some reason there's a non-conference game at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they played California Lutheran, who was at the time coming into the series nationally ranked. They were 12th in the nation. I'm sure they slid down after they got a whooping from the Lutes, who won the series, won three games, all three games of the series this weekend. And the Lutes will advance to the Northwest Conference Tournament, which will take place on the 21st through the 23rd. And Christian, I'm not sure where it's being played. Do you know? Does anyone
I believe
know?
It's at Linfield. It's at Linfield or Willamette. I will double check. I don't know. DJ, can you double check that? Right
yep,
now,
I'll get on it.
Stats, let's go stats.
Yeah, I it's not here, and it should have been here, but yeah. we will talk.
Well, at
about
least
that.
It's not at Whitworth. We'll take that because
yeah.
Whitworth's a drive.
Yeah, that's a travel. Sidebar: you mentioned that Cal Lu was ranked 12th.
Yep.
Dylan Foreman and I got a good talking to about sportsmanship on the broadcast, because we kind of said the same thing. They were ranked 12th entering, and then all of a sudden we kind of knew that they weren't going to be ranked 12th anymore, and the Kalu parents didn't take kindly to that, and they talked to our bosses and were like, goodness. Hey, remember sportsmanship. So that's that was quite funny. It was like POU was ranked 12th at one point in the season, then they went and lost games, then they weren't. So that's kind of how.
That's just stats.
That's how,
sports
that's
is
how
not,
it works.
Sports is not about how touchy-feely everybody can be. It's about winners and losers. And PLU was a winner this weekend, and Kalu was a loser. So
that's
I'm
right.
sorry, Kalu parents. You guys just didn't have it this weekend.
Well, I'd love to hear the language you use, because I know Dylan can get pretty snippy on that.
He was a little snippy. He's like, that's how it works. They lost. They're not going to be that anymore. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Well, guys, heading into the Northwest Conference tournament, which is very exciting, who from PLU is going to do some damage there?
So I've been covering this team all season long for GoLutes.com. Throughout the beginning of the season, they were ranked inside the top 25 as high as 12th, like I mentioned. I think that going into this tournament, PLU is the best team in this tournament, and I'm not just saying that. Offensively, they have six players batting above 300 on the year. They have six players with multiple home runs. The lowest on-base percentage of the people who get regular playing time is .265. Everybody else is at 300 and above, and there are six guys at 400 and above. So these guys are just killing it offensively, right? Mm-hmm. They had one bad weekend, and it cost them hosting the Northwest Conference Tournament. They went down to Willamette and got swept for no good reason.
Just an off weekend.
They got swept by Willamette, okay, and the big reason why is because Landon Packard and Corey Vanderstay didn't hit. In that series against Willamette, Packard went 1 for 13 with 2 strikeouts, 1 run batted in, and 1 walk. Vanderstay went 2 for 13, 1 strikeout, and 3 runs batted in. On the season, Landon Packard has hit 400. Okay, he has 10 doubles, 4 triples, 5 home runs, 42 runs batted in, 13 walks, 16 strikeouts. He is slugging .644.
That's a heck of a stat line.
Unreal. Wow. Unreal, right? Vanderstay is hitting .350. He has 8 doubles, 5 home runs, 28 runs batted in, 18 walks, 13 strikeouts. He's slugging .547. So they had that bad weekend down in Willamette, but it was because these two guys just didn't hit the baseball.
Right.
That's the whole reason. So on the offensive end, if the team wants a trophy and the automatic bid into regional play, Packard and Vanderstay need to hit the ball.
Do they make it in if they don't win?
They have a good chance at an at-large bid because of what they did to Kalu this weekend.
Good.
All right, so you mentioned the offense. Let's talk a little bit about defensively and pitching. What do we got there?
The bullpen has kind of been the biggest question mark of this whole entire team. The team is good when Jacob Gleickman, Chad Gideon, Cole Johnson, the team starters, get into the sixth inning. If they get in or past the sixth inning, this team can figure it out from there. If those guys get bounced earlier in the game, it's up in the air. It's a real question mark. If the starting pitchers throw strikes and pitch to contacts to get out and go deep in games, this team should be fine. Should be fine.
Well, we're excited to keep up with them. Christian, is there any news going on for you? I mean, they won't be at PLU, so I know you're bummed you're not working, but
I will be working. I'll be at the Northwest Tournament for Golf inputting scores.
Okay. Ooh. Well,
and writing recaps.
And where can we catch the Northwest Golf Tournament?
I'll tell you when I know.
Okay.
Sweet. There's lots of exciting stuff going on here at PLU. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure all spring sports teams are going into postseason of some sort.
That's impressive.
Which is very impressive. All right, well, moving on. The softball team, like I said, played right down the street from our baseball team over the weekend. Literally right down the street. It's kind of fun if you're at one of the games, you can hear the cheering from the other game, and then you want to run over and go see what happened there. Anyways, so the Lutes clinched a spot in the Northwest Conference Tournament. Excitingly, during their senior day, when they defeated crosstown rivals UPS on two occasions. The first game ended in a 7-1 win, and the second was 6-3. So, handily won those games. And, like I said, softball will move on. They play Linfield on Friday in the Northwest Conference Tournament. Deej, who do we need to look out for coming up?
The softball players just wanted me to start off by saying how amazing their field crew was this year. They said they did a great job, so shouts out to those guys.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
talk about the field crew and how great they were.
Yeah.
On Saturday, the team had their final game. How come some of my baseball guys had to run over and go take down the speakers?
Oh.
Uh-oh. Wait,
fired.
Saturday?
Yes. No, Friday. That would have been Friday.
Okay, Friday. I think some of the field crew guys might have left early for the Mariners game. I'm just speculating here. That's not good. That as their boss, that doesn't make me proud.
That is not okay.
But yeah, overall,
especially out in the rain, you left the speakers up because you had to get to the Mariners game.
You
got to
crack the whip, Deej. Come on.
See, I was out of town, so
finish
nobody
the job.
Let me know. This is the first time hearing about it.
Finish the job.
There's okay, always next.
Tell us, guys. Tell us about the team.
Okay. So, sorry. The players need to have the best weekend in order for for the Lutes to get that automatic bid into the postseason, because frankly, I don't think they're going to get an at-large bid. But those two players are the pitching combo of Marissa Miller and Ellie Rossbach.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Miller, as some people like to call her, has posted an ERA of 2.93 this season, along with four shutouts. And Rossbach sits right behind her with an ERA of 3.05. It's only one shutout, but 110 innings pitched. They will both need to bring their A games because we always talk about, or it's always used in sports, defense wins championships. And even though the Lutes are batting .307 this year, which is pretty good, we still, like, they could have an off weekend of hitting, and Miller and Rossbach could still have good games pitching, and we could be able to eke out a couple runs
right. And
win that game. So I think ultimately it comes down to our pitching. And like I said, defense wins championships. So those two are my players to watch going forward.
I like it.
It's good you bring those two up. If you want to see the new TV segment, Half Athlete Tries, go to Mast Media YouTube page. And your boy tried to hit off of Marissa and Ellie. And it was
a foul tip.
Rough time. You should check it out. Go watch the video. It's on the first episode of Loot Center on the Mast Media YouTube page. All right, we're going to take a short break now. When we come back, we'll talk a little Seattle Seahawks. There were some rumblings over the weekend of some movement for a couple of players. Find out who they are. Find out where they might be going. This is Mast Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete, joined in studio by a member of the POU women's basketball team in Lacey Nicholson, and a member of the POU football team. His name is DJ Winter.
Go, DJ.
That's my DJ.
If you want to listen to full versions of the show, you can do it. It's under Sports Podcast at mastmedia.pou.edu. Check us out there. If you want to call into the show and talk to us about some Seattle Seahawks football, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. All right. For some time now, we've heard rumors that Marshawn T. Lynch is reconsidering retirement.
What's his middle name? Sorry.
I don't know what his middle name. I know it's T. Might be...
Let's take some guesses. Loser has to eat grasshoppers at the Mariners game.
All right, go for it. Guess. What's his middle name?
Trevor.
Marshawn Trevor Lynch. DJ, what do you got?
Trayshawn.
Marshawn Trayshawn Lynch. Are you kidding me?
Christian, let's hear it.
I'll go Terrence. Marshawn Terrence. Oh, hold on. I'm going to find it. Middle. Hold on.
Just
keep
watch
talking.
It
be. Terrell.
Oh, God.
I was close.
You were close.
All right. Drew has to eat grasshoppers.
All right. So he wants to play football again, right? But he retired, so he can't yet. All right.
Look at that.
Seattle Seahawks own the rights to his contract, and the return from Lynch would involve something by the Seahawks, likely going to be a trade. Doesn't matter what I would do. Lynch wants to return if he could play for his hometown team, the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are on the move, though. They'll be in Las Vegas in 2019, so maybe a year, maybe two for Marshawn Lynch.
No arm wrestling.
And that's that. On Friday, it was reported that a deal had been worked out between Lynch and the Raiders. And then about an hour later, it was reported that the deal wasn't done. Right? So, my question, I guess, would be, can we figure out why this deal hasn't been done yet? I mean, it seems to make sense for the Seahawks. Is something wrong with what the Seahawks are doing? Would you make the move if you were the Seahawks? Give me some answers.
Well, let me start by saying I would be heartbroken to see Marshawn Lynch go somewhere else other than Seattle, just because he's been such an icon here with Beast Mode and Mr. Skittles. Ooh. And everything that he's brought to this city has really brought us together and made people excited about the Hawks. And so he ended, when did he retire? Was it 2015? He's only been out for one season, right?
Yeah.
So one whole year without training, probably, I'm assuming. I mean, what's he been doing the last year? Who knows? But the Raiders have really been on this uphill slope for the last few years. In 2014, they just had 3 wins all season. In 2015, they increased to 7 wins, 9 losses. And this last season, the Raiders finished with 12 wins and only 4 losses. So there's exciting things going on in Oakland. And I think if Marshawn Lynch were to go there, that would be a huge grab for them. And to answer your question, Christian, yes, I think Seattle has a lot to do with the fact that that deal has not closed. Because if you were Seattle right now, if you were the Seahawks right now, you would not want to give up Marshawn Lynch, who has brought so much unity to your city and excitement to the game. You would not want to give him up to another team, even if he was just playing for one season. So I'm sure they're giving him headaches and making it hard for that to go through.
I think that's fair. DJ, what do you think about the deal?
Oh, where do I begin? I think Seahawks they're trying to get something out of him because it could only add to their team. I don't see how much he has in the tank. I think he can't come back from how long he's been out. I mean, even when he was playing for the Seahawks, he was known to not hit his full, like, peak performance until midseason because his off-season regimen was, he would always come in, you know, a little heavy. He wasn't known for having a very strong off-season workout performance. And so I don't foresee him being that much of an addition to the Raiders. I think the Seahawks just, if they can't get a trade done, they should just let him go and release him. It would save them money, and it would get Marshawn off their hands. I think this has just been kind of a distraction for the Hawks. But moving forward, if they can't get something for him in return, that would be the best case scenario.
Yeah, I don't see. If I'm exactly like you said, you don't know how much Marshawn Lynch has left. If I'm the Seahawks, there's no reason why I don't trade for a draft pick or mm-hmm. something like that. Just to get, you know, even a 6th, 7th round pick is worth getting Marshawn Lynch off of your books, off of all of that stuff. Just get him away because...
But he's beast mode.
But he is beast mode, but at the same time...
But he's retired beast mode. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, exactly, right? I'd have made the move by now if I were the Seahawks, but I'm not them, so I'm sitting here talking about him. All right, since we're talking about the Seahawks, let's move over. If you've noticed in the news, there have been a lot of rumors about the Seahawks and their relations with Richard Sherman. Should they trade him? Should they not? That's the question I want to ask the both of you. Would you trade Richard Sherman to another team?
Well, I guess I'll start. I will say Richard Sherman has also been a fan favorite. I have to say I've probably been in 3 living rooms with a picture of him, a particular interception in the 49ers game. It's a famous picture here in Seattle, and I've seen that in many living rooms that I've been in. So he's definitely another player that brings the city together and gets people excited. But having said that, I think Seattle can do without Richard Sherman in the future because, you know, he was drafted in 2011. He's 29 years old. As me and Christian were talking earlier today, he's kind of on that downward slope as far as football players in the league. He's getting up there in age, and I think it would be smart for the Hawks if they got rid of Richard Sherman. They could bring in some new talent that has potential for future success.
That's fair. DJ, would you trade Richard Sherman?
Very fair. And I think you could go either way on this, but I personally do not think you should. I think he's still, even though his performance has declined a little bit, you can't deny the stats. But he still has a couple good years left in the tank, and trading him would only, number one, fuel his fire. And then number two, if we were to, I think the best we could get for him is like a second round draft pick. And the time is now for the Seahawks. They only have a couple more years left in their Super Bowl window, in my opinion. And that draft pick would have to develop for a couple years. Let's see. And Sherman is such a key element to the core of that defensive group that trading him away would only it would only hurt them.
I think that's also fair.
Lacey's okay. Got something.
Yeah. Like I said, fan favorite. I just got a text from my mom, and she said, "Don't trade Richard Sherman. I have to buy a new jersey." So he is. Okay. He's got the hearts of the fans.
We love
okay,
you, Barb.
Mrs. Nicholson. Last season, he was incredibly difficult to deal with, to listen to. I can remember a Thursday night game against the Rams. It was a very casual win for the Seahawks. It was no big deal. The game should have been over, and it should have been on to the next week. Mm-hmm. But Sherman had to criticize Daryl Bevel and Pete Carroll for throwing the ball on the 1 yard line, making references to the Super Bowl loss and yada, yada, yada. Just stuff that isn't worth doing, right? My question is he still worth the headache for Pete Carroll and the Seahawks?
I would definitely say that he is a massive headache for the program. And that's just not something you do. You do not go to your head coach and cause a ruckus over something that happened in the past. It is what it is. But I think because of these NFL players are making so much money, they feel that right, that is their right to speak their mind. But it just causes a distraction, especially the media these days. It causes a distraction in the program and can take the focus off of winning games and preparing for the next week.
That's very, very fair. Drew, mm-hmm. or DJ. No Drew this week.
Oh,
DJ.
Man.
What do you think? Is he worth the headache?
Well, speaking of Drew, we hope he gets home safe from Dallas. Just like I said before, I think he is worth the headache. He is going to be in the media, like whether it's good or bad is, I mean, that
but
could
it's
be,
mostly bad.
Yeah,
like it is not like it is, oh he did a cool thing. It's like oh he talked a bunch of crap again.
Yeah,
no way.
It is mostly bad, and maybe the talking crap. Some people can view that as not bad. Or good for the Seahawks, because that's kind of the Seahawks mantra. They're, you know, the big bad Seahawks talking all that crap. And that's what I think they have to get back to more of. I think they've gotten a little soft over these past couple of years. You haven't heard Sherman talking as much. Earl has been hurt. Cam, he's been doing okay, but I mean, I think he's on the decline as well. I think the situation last year could have been handled better and more in-house by Pete Carroll and even Sherman. Sherman should have had the maturity to talk, not to the media, but to his coach, and go to his coach directly or his defensive coordinator. But, I mean, the emotion of football, there's so much emotion involved in it, and these guys put so much into it that it's hard. Sometimes you let your emotions get the best of you, even if you are a super mature person. We see things on Peyton Manning. He was like the calmest of all calms, and even still, he'll get mad at somebody sometime and call him out, and for everybody to see, like on the sidelines. But I think he overall he is worth the headache, and we'll just have to put up with him for a couple more years.
Okay, my question is, do you think that the way Richard Sherman has acted towards the media is legit or is it a front? Is he playing a character? Is he trying to be this person, right? Example, Rob Gronkowski is,
which I love,
is perceived to be a party boy, right?
Yep.
On boats all the time, doing this, doing that all the time. But the dude is never in trouble. And when he's healthy, he's always a incredibly productive player for the New England Patriots. To me, in my mind, there's no way that you can be this crazy outgoing party boy and then put it all together when the season comes and never be in trouble and never get caught for doing anything dumb, all that good stuff. It could, you know, I don't think that he's actually the dumb jock that he appears to be. I think there's more to that, whether he's being helped by a team of people or whether he's actually that smart and understands how to be that way.
Yeah.
Do you think Richard Sherman is trying to build a brand as a villain, as a bad guy, as a person that people love to hate, or is he just passionate about what he does? Like, what do you think?
I think that's just the persona he's kind of grown up in, with his whole draft stock and how Harbaugh mistreated him at Stanford. He's just kind of always had that chip on his shoulder. And I watched a feature on him some time ago, and even in high school, his coach said they tried to take the trash talking away from him and to try and get him to stop from playing without that chip, and his performance decreased substantially. So I feel like for some people, Michael Jordan had that chip of ever since high school when he got cut, he committed himself to getting better so he would never get cut again, and he played with that chip on his shoulder. And I think that's something that Sherman does, is he plays with that chip on his shoulder, and he needs that in order to peak perform at his highest level.
So that's who Richard Sherman is. He's just a loudmouth dude, and he has to be that way or else he's not going to be what he is.
Yep.
Okay, that's fair. Lacey, what do you think? Is this fake? Is this a front, or is this who he is?
I believe that putting on a front for the media is a very real thing, and especially with the media these days, I think players are potentially told to act a certain way to increase fan ratings or whatnot. But I will say, I believe with Richard Sherman, I think it's all passion. I think he's passionate about the game. He loves what he does. He cares about his teammates, and a lot of times he'll be sticking up for his teammates. And I actually went back and watched the interview with Aaron Andrews after that 49ers game when Sherman was talking about Michael Crabtree. And if you watch that video, that's not acting. That guy has fire in his eyes, and he is just straight passionate about what he does. And I think sometimes it can hurt him, the things he says, but I don't think it's a front at all.
Very, very interesting. All right, that'll put a wrap on Seahawks talk for this week. We come back, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have to talk about a tragedy that struck a NBA star from the area. Don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm POU's half athlete, joined by Lacey Nicholson of POU Women's Basketball and DJ Winter of POU Football. If you want to call into the show and talk to us about anything in the world, call us at 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. If you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube page. It's Half Athlete Radio. We'd really appreciate the subscription. It would help us out a lot. And if you want to hear the show in full podcast form, you can do it at mastmedia.pou.edu. So check it out there. Lacey, we got some sad news to talk about. Can you tell us what happened?
Very sad. On Saturday morning, NBA star Isaiah Thomas's younger sister, Chyna Thomas, suddenly passed away in a tragic car accident. The accident happened on southbound I-5 near 288th Street in Federal Way around 5 a.m. on Saturday morning. The car went off the road, landed atop a highway barrier, and slammed into a pole. According to Washington State Patrol, Chyna Thomas was not wearing her seatbelt. Isaiah Thomas is now one of the NBA's top players. Isaiah went to Curtis High School, local high school. He was actually born in Tacoma, Washington here. He played 4 years at the University of Washington and is now the leading scorer for the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are a top seed in the East as the NBA playoffs are just underway, and Isaiah decided to play in his first playoff game against the Chicago Bulls just a day after his sister's passing. Such sad news. I was heartbroken to hear something like that, because to hear someone pass at such a young age is just really tough. And we can talk a little bit about Isaiah's decision to play in that playoff game and kind of how the mood was in that arena.
I saw videos beforehand of him around shoot around, and him and Avery Bradley were embracing each other, and you could tell that it was definitely weighing on his mind. He wrote RIP Lil Sis on his shoes. Stat-wise, he was kind of the same. Mm-hmm. He went 10 for 12 from the free throw line, had 33 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. So I guess stat-wise he was the same, but emotionally you could definitely tell by his facial expressions and just like his overall demeanor, he wasn't all there in Boston. I think that was Saturday. No, Sunday, my fault. He wasn't all there, and he wasn't the same. Is what I'm getting at, because I mean, losing any family member is going to be tough, and especially having to play a game the night after it all goes down, it's super sad.
For me it's tough to imagine being in the same situation as Isaiah Thomas was in and is in now still. That being said, the game was one that he had to play in. He had to. Okay, losing a loved one, especially in that way, is crippling, right? And if Thomas would have taken that game off, there's a good chance that he could have just taken the rest of the season off.
Right.
I mean, just I heard too much, and which would have been fair. No one would have. But in order for him to, the healing process to start, he had to play in this game. Right. The both of you know that your team is one of the best places to find love and support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you already talked about Avery Bradley, you know, hugging Thomas, trying to help him through the situation. His coach Brad Stevens was even quoted as saying they didn't know if Thomas was going to play 40 minutes or 1 minute. You know, either way, it would have been fine. But it had to be incredibly hard, especially knowing the spotlight was going to be on him all night because of the story. But it was something he had to do to start the healing process and mm-hmm. getting back to
right.
to what he is, having fun playing basketball and all that good stuff. So,
and yep. I was honestly in shock when I heard he decided to play in that game. I was like, how can you even put yourself together after something like that? And my family was actually telling me, like, it's probably the only way that he can cope with the situation, and how he knows basketball is what he knows. It's what he does every single day. So getting on the court is probably something that helped take his mind off it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And he did... the Celtics did make a little comeback towards the end. Isaiah Thomas scored, I think, the last 7 points for his team, and they made a little run, but couldn't come away with the win. But
yeah.
There's lots more basketball to be played, and hoping that Isaiah can find peace and comfort, and hopefully he can help his team out on the court.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. All right, so... ended on a little bit of a very sad note, actually. But today has been a fantastic show. We want to thank you for tuning in and checking us out here on Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. For Lacey Nicholson, DJ Winter, my name is Christian Bond. We're out of here.
See ya.